Listen, boy, you are grown. I've gotten such an earful from your girl. You've been tromping around the woods like a sleaze for weeks now. And yet here you are, sitting in the church, not making a lick of sense.
I'm not here to rattle your cage. Just get some answers. You old geezers are as bad as the Reds across the pond. I'm sick of the charades, the lies. What are you and Maeve hiding? What is this town so afraid of? Why bring the feds in if you won't explain? I've been here for more than a decade. I have a right to know.
These rules have been in place for decades, since before my father and his father, and so on. Without them, we'd all be part of their grand scheme.
Who are they? It's always they this, they that. They don't even seem real, like it's some cruel, disappearing act.
You already know, boy. You should have listened to your wife. Are who you say you are. If you want some cruel manipulation of a monster, then in 4 days' time, we'll be most obliged to tell you. For now, we can't let the secret of our methods be known.
You're not making any sense. I want answers. Otherwise, I'm not afraid to go right for your kisser, old man.
Careful with your lip, old sport. For now, just stay here or go home. Don't even think about running to that lass with that fancy doodad. Becoming as much trouble as you.
Now don't go throwing rocks in glass houses, Edwin. I won't take this kind of slander. Now just you wait. Don't go leaving just yet.
That's enough. I've got business to get back to at the bakery. Go bother Maeve if you're so adamant.
I've heard of other things you in this town have done. Like Rosalind. The poor gal didn't deserve what you did to her.
She was guilty of being one of those foul creatures. Don't stick your nose in such trivial things. Unless you have a reason we shouldn't protect our town and lives from the wickedness of those little wretches.
He's a lost cause. Maeve is so invested in her relationship with Reuben, there isn't much else you can do here. We know the cause of why he ran off. Better skip town before things get to be too much for you, Madam Officer.
What he's getting on about. But you heard that little tyke. Something just isn't sitting well with me about this.
They're planning to bury you alive, Mr. Casey.
Get out of here.
I put it together from what Georgie told me, from what Edwin said in the woods to Lottie, and what he said just now.
That's a capital offense. The big first, isn't it?
I've got it all in here. Almost like it came straight from my basics of law books. They have the intent, and they have premeditated your murder.
Have you been by the graveyard, then?
No. No, I have not. Is there a correlation?
When I visited with Teddy one day, he took me with him to see Rosalind, hoping that little bell would ring.
Jordy told me it did, for all day and night. She suffocated in there, fearful till her last breath.
Golly, Pete. Lord Almighty. Weston, rest her soul. But on her headstone it read, beguiled. Miss McCrae, there are hundreds of them. They're not buried in the church either. You wouldn't see them unless you went as far out as Aiden's pad.
Who's Aiden?
Georgie's pops. Town's leather tanner. Cobbler, hatter, etc.
I see. We have a case. If we can make it to the city past Waynesboro, or head down to St. Simon's, we could pay for a plane to get us to D.C. I got connections there to get the ballroom. Not to mention this is my preliminary case, to see how I can handle being an on-site investigator.
Not the best time to go tooting your own horn here, huh?
Well, it's true. Even if nothing is done immediately, there is a strong case to make here.
And who would we prosecute? Edwin's too old to be behind bars.
Your wife, Reuben, has had a heavy hand in this operation.
How could you know this? She's just misguided by Edwin. There's not any other...
She's planning your death, Reuben. There isn't any nice way to put it. She's already put this to bed, letting you go. She may as well have been the one to dig the hole.
She wouldn't. My Mabe would never.
Why would Edwin suggest you go home then? Because Mabe would keep you locked up till your trial date. I've seen it already. Each and every day, it's something else in her demeanor. She is set on you being a changeling, whatever they believe. But you have to realize what is happening, or else you'll end up like Miss Roslyn. If Teddy could bury his wife, then Mabe, who is arguably farther from reality than him, then she...
She is a loving wife. A little unconventional, but she has been my joy for so many years. She pulled me out of a very desperate time in my life. Gave me love and support. She wouldn't just turn on a dime like that.
She would, and she has. If that's too hard to believe, then go home. Let them bury you alive. If they were able to get those doctors out of Germany, then they could get a dead man away from his batshit wife in crazy town.
All right. But it can't be that simple, can it?
It is that simple. Just wait for me to come by tomorrow.
No, no. I believe you about skipping town. But Mabe, how can you be so resolute?
That Georgie boy may be young, and in dire need of some friends, but he told me a good chunk of what happened to Roslyn.
She had that terrible sickness. Tuberculosis, they said. Nearly incurable. Only the fresh air could cure it. I guess that's why the old sport took a liking to living down here with her.
Good Lord. Only bad things happen to good people, huh?
You can say that again. I'll go home. And in the morning, we'll skip. I'll tell Mabe I'm heading to the office to straighten things out. And I'll meet you there.
That is reasonable. I have a few calls to make. Then I'll be making use of Lottie's old photo camera to go see the cemetery. As well as what is left of her in the woods.
All right. Just don't linger long in that graveyard. Some might call it a little bone-chilling.
Is it a good sign that you're cracking jokes?
Most likely not.
It's sundown now, the eve of the spring solstice. I can barely conceive the idea of what I saw today. I went to the place of Lottie's death, or at least I think so. There were only bits of her dress left. Her bones. I don't think it rained last night, but all around where her corpse should have been were puddles of water. Void-like holes into an abyss. It was so captivating. I wouldn't have been able to walk away if Mr. Walsh, as I'd come to find out after he had helped me, pulled me off those puddles. I can hardly remember it, but if I stare too long at the black waters, I would become too entranced to leave. I've heard that warning somewhere, always in the back of my brain. Don't give my name to anyone I just met. That's another. Where did it come from? I've heard them before, but where did I hear it? Don't step across the threshold without an invitation. Don't wander past the yellow flowers. don't forget your manners. Never say thank you. Never accept a gift you can't return. Always make an introduction. Always say goodbye. Don't eat the food. Don't step in the ring. Where have I... Oh, hush up. This blasted old radio. Why don't I just throw it in the fire?
I'll have to cut that before the muckety-mucks hear that. Great Lord Almighty. I'm losing my marbles in this no-good town.
Apologies.
Egads, what has gotten into me? I need to get a grip, put on my big girl panties, and finish this case. Where was I? It was the woods, Mr. Walsh, the camera, the puddles. Ah, those puddles. Mr. Walsh was quite the lifesaver. He pulled me away, and I talked with him for a bit. He took me back to his home, but I didn't see his boy, Georgie. He told me that kid is an enigma even in his own home, preferring the woods. But I caught a glimpse of him running through the thicket. And I could have sworn I saw... Attached to this tape is a drawing I made in the moment. I can't quite call it a dog. It looked like it had three tails. Too tall for a dog, but too short for a deer. Whatever it was, the little rascal is doing all right, it seems. Everyone processes the trauma in their own way. What was that? Hello? I'm not accepting visitors at this hour. Kids these days. Lord Almighty, what is wrong with me? Didn't I shut this off? These are the facts. I can't beat around it anymore. This town is a cesspit of superstition and violence. They're willing to kill their friends, family, and spouses for the sake of this imaginary neighbor? The cemetery shows this. Most graves don't have names. Just the word beguiled, charmed, or hexed with a set of years. Rosin is the only one with a name. Probably Teddy's doing. There's a statue with it, of an angel holding a child crying to the sky. It makes a girl wonder how such a devoted husband could let his wife be killed like this. Then again, Rubin is going through the same thing. This process might need to speed up a little. I don't think I can sleep here tonight.
That state and this confusing vernacular may put it. All good things come to those who wait. I have bided my time long enough. Quite dubious how the powers that gave humans the ability to harness the tools of natural powers give life to these clunky machines. Goodbye for today.
Concludes the analysis of tape number 5. This evidence is integral to our ongoing initiative to uncover the truth behind what lies in wait. For subsequent briefings, please await the recovery and analysis of tape number 6. Found on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, and many more. Stay informed by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at @whatliesinwait_a.d. As in Delta. To share your insights, please use our secure contact email, whatliesinwait@gmail.com. Your engagement is vital to our continued pursuit of the truth. Until the next briefing, ensure the operational security of these confidential files.
Eloise McRae and Crocus is voiced by Madison Mastarelli. Reuben Casey is voiced by Brian Parker. Edwin O'Hagan is voiced by Cameron Driggers. What Lies in Wait is produced by Arch Pingle and Evianca Robinson. Written by Arch Pingle. Casted by Kelly Tanner. Scheduled and managed by Evianca Robinson. Promoted by Jared Coles. Engineered by June Ogden. This episode was produced by Kelly Tanner.